get your Bible for a minute and let's go over to the book of Malachi. Second chapter. Once you found your place there, leave it open and give me your attention. Over 50% of the marriages in this country end up in divorce. Many of the 50% that remain married do so because they feel like they have to. The issue of divorce and then its further complication, which is remarriage, are problematic. The government treats this issue like the government treats everything. Whatever feels good, do it. We have a no-fault divorce in this country. How many divorces do you know that are nobody's fault? Honestly. The church, for the most part, has decided not to take a stand because it's messy. Feelings and emotions and finances and children, and it's messy. But like everything else, God hasn't skipped the matter and left it up to us. And because He's spoken about it, it doesn't make it easy, right? Now, as I say these words today, I know that I'm speaking to some folks here that have gone through that or have thought about it very seriously. And we know that God has spoken, but we don't like what He said, so we question, are there legitimate grounds to leave a spouse? And if so, what are those legitimate grounds? How do I find them? And I mean now. There are biblical grounds to exit a marriage. The exit's hard to find, but it's there. Scripture makes the exit hard, but the exit is there. I don't want to go into looking for the exit today. That's not where I want to head with this. I don't want us looking at how to get out. That's not going to be helpful. You see, a divorce usually happens when people start looking for the exit. How do I get out of here? This is too hard for me. But God says, yes, it's too hard for thee, but not too hard for me. God puts biblical divorce in a hard-to-reach place. Not easily accessed, and that's by reason. And the reason is because of the seriousness of marriage. Most are confused about divorce because they do not understand marriage. They want out of what they never understood in the first place. There was a woman talking to a friend. She said, Blanche, she said, marriage is a serious thing. You need to really think about, really seriously think about committing yourself to a man for the next 5 or 10 years. Unfortunately, that's the view that we have. That we'll stick this thing out until, you know, it gets hard or gets difficult, and then we'll move on from there. I would agree with her point about thinking about marriage seriously before getting into it. I think it needs to have a lot of thought put into it, a lot of prayer put into it before you ever come to the point of thinking that you're going to do something about marriage. Malachi chapter 2, I'm going to read 4 verses here. Verse 11, it says, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Why? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy companion of thy covenant. The Jewish people at this point are bothered that God is not accepting their worship. They're bothered that God's not accepting worship, and he's telling them why. He's telling them very plainly here that they have courted another wife, that they've moved from the wife of the covenant over into something else. And so he's not interested in listening or hearing what they have to say, even when they cry and wail about the situation that they're in. He says, you have a wife, and she is a wife by covenant. Boy, that's an important word. That's an important word when we're talking about marriage, when we're talking about this most wonderful of things. The reason divorce is hard, the reason divorce is narrow in Scripture, is because marriage is a covenant relationship. That's why God makes it hard to exit. It is a covenant. It is not a ceremony. It is not a party to be remembered in pictures someday. There are three reasons for marriage. First of the reasons is that marriage pictures something more than two people. God is a triunity. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are three yet one. In a marriage, there's a husband and a wife and offspring. They are three yet one. There is a unity that marriage portrays. It is a relationship that is portrayed. And the relationship that's behind that is the relationship of the Trinity among themselves, and the relationship between God and man is in view as well in the marriage relationship. It reflects on who God is. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It depicts that relationship. Second reason for marriage is procreation. Procreation. Replication of the image of God. That's what that boils down to. Replicating the image of God. You replicate the image of God, and at some point, those that have been created, procreated, are to leave the house. They're to leave Eden. It comes along about the time that they turn about 18 and think that you're the stupidest thing in the world. And when they figure out you're the stupidest parent in the world, then it's time to throw them out. Okay? And when you throw them out, then they are to replenish the earth. Okay? And so procreation, replicate in the image of God, and then replenishing of the earth. And the third reason for marriage is recreation. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to have fun in your marriage. Tell him. Listen, I'm not going to get into other than a G rating here this morning, but it's okay to have fun behind closed doors. Recreation. You see? And so, if it's okay in that setting there, see, God wants us to understand that it's okay to have fun with Him. It's okay to have fun with Him in the very intimate relationship that we have with Him. Those are the reasons for marriage right there. Okay? In God's economy, a wedding is an earthly picture of the covenant that He made with His bride, the church, 2,000 years ago. He desires every marriage to be a reminder of the blood that He shed for us that unites us in Him. Covenant making is serious business with God. Covenants are binding. Covenants are forever. In that new covenant of His blood, Jesus Christ gave Himself to us. Everything He has and everything He is, He gives to us. His only request is that we give ourselves to Him. That's what salvation is all about. That's the gospel in a nutshell. God made provision for every single thing, and all He requires is us to receive the gift of life, to surrender ourselves lock, stock, and barrel to Him, to let Him be the Lord, to let Him be the King, to let Him be the master of our life. That's His desire. That's His design. That was the design that was in the mind of God before there was ever a world to put a sinner on. Before there was ever a sinner to sin, God had Calvary in mind. The Calvary that would reconcile sinful creatures back to a holy and righteous God. That plan was not plan B. It was always the plan of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who existed eternally and will continue to exist eternally. His plan is for us to become one with Him and enjoy Him forever. That's what marriage portrays. That's the picture that marriage portrays. Offering our life, all of our life, to another to become one with them for a lifetime. That's what people don't get about marriage. What God's design for it is. The design, simply put, is one believing man and one believing woman. Marriage now. One believing man and one believing woman for one lifetime. There are no variations to that. He is strict about that. Too many people get married quick, get married easy, look for the exit because it's not going like they want it to go. They went ahead and got married against their better judgment because they thought their mate would change, or if they wouldn't change, they thought they'd change them. She's tried that. And when that doesn't happen, they want out. An honest conversation about marriage starts with, if this person never changes, will I stay with them the rest of my life? That's an honest question to ask yourself before you ever get started in it. If they never change, will I stay with them the rest of my life? Trust me, makeup won't work better in the future than it does now. This is as good as it gets. Are you willing to accept someone as they are, no changes, just like they are now and forever for the rest of this life? Marriage is a serious matter. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. A notary witnesses the signatures on a contract. When things go wrong on a contract, that notary is not any help at all. The contract can be easily broken, even though a notary has signed off on it. But a covenant? God's the witness on that one. God is the witness on that one, and He is not powerless, nor will He let you off the hook. To break a covenant is to turn your back on God. When you turn your back on God, that's called sin. Sin brings death. It brings death. Separation from God results in separation from a mate. There are biblical exits to the marriage covenant. There are few and they are hard to come by. I want to point to one today, and then we're going to move over into something else. Romans chapter 7. Here's one of the exits to the marriage covenant. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. There's an exit right there. Widowing, widowers, there's an exit. The Lord says that once death separates you in this, then you are free to then move forward into a relationship like that, of like kind, again. One believing man, one believing woman, one lifetime. Death nullifies the covenant and releases the individual to join to another. That's one of the exits that the Bible makes provision for. We're going to illustrate that concept today. We're going to illustrate today for you the marriage covenant that has moved out of or come through the Romans 7 exit provision this morning. There's not going to be an invitation at the end of this service today. Formally, I would invite you, if the Lord has spoken to your heart about something that you need clarification on or that you feel like it needs to be addressed, I'd encourage you to check with me or somebody here before you leave. Love to show you how you can be saved and know it today and have that relationship with Jesus Christ that He has made provision for you to have with Him. I'd love to explore that with you if you don't have it today. But there will not be a formal invitation here this morning, as we are about to move over into a marriage ceremony.